Psalm number 104 is where we've come to this evening, and we're going to pick up at verse 16 to 19. Psalm 104 at verse 16, four stanzas to 19.
Journeys clearly.
The trees of God are full of
let us pray together, shall we? Eternal Father of grace and glory, the great holy God of Israel, who spoke in time past through the prophets, and who has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, we are glad to sing the psalms that remind us of God and the things that he does in the creation that is all around us, speaking in graphic and yet poetic terms concerning God's handiworks, but also speaking to us in grace, clearly revealed in the scriptures from the very beginning. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so did all the others of whom we read that they believed, that they trusted, they listened, they looked away from this present world, and they looked to that God who had provided for them a city which has foundations. They all looked forward to the better time to come. According to God's word, they trusted that he who spoke would bring it to pass. And so we, as we live now in the last days, we pray that we would listen still, and that we would look forward to that coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ and all the attendant events and all the attendant glories and all the fulfilled graces. The gospel is full of good things. Always it is good news, a good message, a good announcement. No bad news in the gospel, nothing but goodness and graciousness and glory to come. And so as we gather here again this evening, we are conscious, O God, of the surroundings that surround us and the days in which we live. And we are conscious, far, far too conscious of the terrible tragedies in the church and in our own lives, in the lives of our families perhaps, and certainly in the lives of our societies. And all around us we see evidences that the word of God speaks soberness and truth when it describes human nature and human history and how societies are going to turn out and what the world is going to be like towards and increasingly towards the end. And as we look around us and look into the scriptures, we cannot but do a comparison. And we know that down through the running centuries, O God, God's people have looked into the scriptures. And there have always been signs, always have been signs of his coming. Always there have been wars and rumors of wars. Always there have been declensions in the church. Always there have been betrayals in families. Always there have been storms and earthquakes, tsunamis and volcanoes, and troubles upon the face of our earth. And yet we seem to be living at a time of increased frequency and seriousness. And so we have reason to believe that the coming of the Lord cannot be too far away. But even if it is far away, O Lord, and even if it is centuries yet before the great event, we still pray that we would watch and wait and look and listen and live as those who are awaiting the Master's return. And that every day of our lives would be one of expectancy, either that Christ will come to us or that we will go to be with him, which is far better. And so we pray that our hearts would be enlightened this evening as we're reminded of further truths concerning the great and precious promises of the Word. We remember our families, we think of them all, those who are believers. We give thanks to God for their salvation. Those who are not believers, we give thanks to God for their life and for their continual life even today. And these prolonged days are evidences of God's long-suffering, we believe, and so we pray for them, that they would not waste their time and their days in the futilities of a godless life. We pray for our society, we pray for our rulers over us in these days when they are criticized throughout the world. Perhaps rightly, perhaps wrongly, we make no judgment about that. But we do pray for them. They have made to make difficult decisions. And knowing our own foolishness and frailty, we would do no better, perhaps do greater harm and far worse. So we remember those who rule over us. We remember the church also, especially those who are seeking after Christ and are not yet fully assured that they have been brought into the kingdom. We pray for these uncertain ones to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are strong in the faith, that they would not decline and fall away. How easily that can happen to us. How slowly and almost imperceptibly, unnoticed by ourselves, and sometimes noticed by others before we see it ourselves. So we pray, Heavenly Father, for ourselves and our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, our rulers, our enemies. We pray for the preachers of the gospel in these days. We know how many hearts of men are burdened, not only with the burden of the gospel, but the burden of unbelieving hearers, critical hearers, absentee hearers, and all the other things that are so debilitating to our spiritual joy. So, Heavenly Father, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, as once again we open our hearts and open the scriptures. And we pray that God would open his ears to us as he has promised to hear the cries of our poor hearts. And we ask always in Jesus' name for more mercy and more grace, and all for God's glory we pray. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 13, is where we shall read first of all this evening. In John chapter 13, this is the chapter in John's Gospel that begins the famous upper room discourse, as it is described. In John chapter 13, from verse 1, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and was going to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, clean all over. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy, blessed are you if you do them. And we'll leave it there for this moment. We'll just remind you that we expect that next Lord's Day morning the service will be once again a recorded service. And the afternoon service, God willing, will be held in the theatre at 4:30, and then hopefully next Wednesday back here in the public meeting once again. And that's, I think, all I have to say on that score at this time. So we shall continue to sing in Psalm 104 at verse number 20. And we sing to verse 25. We sing these four stanzas.
The darkness makes his night.